dinner or two and talk about how God spoke to your heart. Thankful for these young people willing to do that. Thank you for those that were able to help the young people get to camp. As a church family, we helped them do that. And we're very thankful, and those that helped sponsor too. Let's go ahead and get in your Bibles, Romans chapter number 7. Camp is always a very interesting thing and an interesting experience. I learned some things about some of the young people I never knew. Did you know that one of our young ladies thinks that she could do a really good job being queen of the world? I wasn't going to say which one it was, Christian, so be quiet. So, but we had a good time on long van rides. You never know what somebody may say. So we had a good time, and for the most part, the kids were really well behaved. I think our group was one of the best groups, if not the best group there. And we had an opportunity to learn verses throughout the week, and they were given a certain number of passages that. Was a lot of different verses, and you had the opportunity to learn them all, or you can learn a few a day or something like that. And we had our group, in which you're missing a few. Jordan is not feeling well today. Jordan wasn't able to be here, and then Joseph wasn't able to be here too. And a couple from Emmanuel Baptist Church went up there with us too, the one in Edenton. But of our small group of 11, 12 kids, three of them memorized all the verses. And even after they memorized the whole list of verses they were supposed to learn, I think they memorized them actually by Tuesday. And they said they were able to say them Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then even some stayed up after midnight on Friday to say them to earn points for their team. But they even had to give them an extra chapter in the Bible because they ran out of verses to say. So that was a blessing. And I saw some of the other young people that maybe does not have as good of a memory in learning those things, work hard and learn some verses too. I'm very thankful for that. Our young people did a really good job, well behaved. Some of them got to play some very, very, very interesting games. Sometimes you get to come up front on the stage and you play games and things like that. And I think every time our young people played the games up front, for the most part, they won those games too. And it was fun. It was a good time. If you ever get the chance to go to camp, I would encourage you at least to try it out one time just to see what they're talking about. The preaching was really well done. It was by a young man, probably somewhere around 25 years old. His name is Ed Loney, and he did a really great job preaching. Very deep speaker, a lot of great thoughts, but also something that could be applicable to our young people. I know a couple will mention about slaying the giants, and this is the illustration he had given and based a portion of his message around, which I thought was good too. He talked about how when David threw the rock and how Goliath fell to the ground, that he knocked him down, but then he died when he came and used the sword and cut his head off. And the truth is, in our lives, we face giants, like Christian said, pride or maybe certain sins, things that might be small to others, but they're giants to us. Some of it might be reading your Bible. Some of it might be praying like you should. Some of it might be being faithful to church, you know. But he says that many times when a guy gets to camp or when you get to a church service, you'll knock that giant down. You'll do little things to make sure that giant does not have as much influence in your life. But he encouraged the young people and those that were there to cut the giant's head off, to be able to kill it once and for all. And that's an important truth, something we can learn in our Christian lives, that we need to cut it off once and for all and not have to deal with it again in the future. And I know we've preached before about taking away the high places in our life, and it's that idea in 1 Kings and 2 Kings, how some of these good kings came, they did good things, but most of the time it says a little byline at the bottom, but they removed not the high places. You know what they did? They left the high places so the kings that came behind them were able to use them once again to worship false gods. And we need to remove those high places. Anything that gives any type of ability or enabling to our sins and our giants of our lives. And so that was good. He preached a lot of good messages. I enjoyed the message where it talked about being where God was. It talked about being in the place where he was, and just really encouraged my heart about wanting to be close with him, wanting to get in our word. And this morning, as we talked about, if we're going to glory in anything, glory in this, that you know and understand God. And that's where we need to get. And where are we going to know and understand God? It's found in the Bible. And as it says in Romans and Jeremiah chapter 9:23, it talks about not letting the wise man glory in his wisdom, not letting the mighty man glory in his might, the rich man glory in his riches. But if you're going to glory in something, glory in this. And that's just glorying in God. We're going to continue on a little bit tonight about our series that we've been dealing with, the home. specifically for parents that have children inside the home and teenagers inside the home. We've been looking a little bit into this thought about how the devil is we picture him as a fisherman, and he is trying to destroy the lives of the young people and destroy the families all around us. And when we do that, we talk about the first hook. The first hook we looked at was rebellion, and how many times the devil has put so much bait on there, made young people and children think that they need to question authority and that they need to rebel against authority, and talked about how if the devil can get them to just begin to rebel against the godly authority in their life, the devil has caused them to do great damage. And that's what the devil's looking to do. There's never anything pretty that a fisherman does with a fish. I know Mr. Steve, when he goes fishing, he lets the fish go back out. I mean, that's nice, but that's not what the devil's going to do in your life. The devil's looking to destroy. He's looking to devour. He's looking to ruin your lives. And he sets out hooks, and he baits hooks, and he's trying to get young people, and not just young people, but adults and children, to be able to grab a hold of that hook so he can completely make you useless for God. So we learned about that first hook of rebellion, and he's trying to do everything he can to get the young people to disobey biblical authority. He tries to get the biblical authorities in our lives to fight against one another. He's trying to destroy that wall of protection. We talked about how God wants us to develop a wall of protection around our young people, and we need to stand in the gap, and our young people need that, and they need to realize that, and they need to understand that and not fight against the system, but instead enjoy the protection that wall of protection offers them. Let them grow and learn about God in a safe environment. The second hook is designed to pollute and plunder. The second hook is designed to pollute and plunder. And here's the thought, is that Satan is trying to corrupt and pollute your heart. The title of this evening's message is Internal Corruption. The devil's after your heart. The devil is going to bring things in your life that's going to try to corrupt that very thing that is so valuable. That center of our life, that emotion center of our life. Pastors and parents cannot see the heart of a teenager. And this is where Satan's most powerful corruption takes place. After Satan has sufficiently divided the home and instilled rebellion, he always feeds that rebellion with corruption. What we're going to be looking at in the next few weeks is the different ways that the devil, through the things of media and music and things like that, how he begins to corrupt the hearts, not only of young people, but also older people, young and old alike, because he wants to get to your heart. In the spiritual world, the infection of sin becomes a corrupting heart problem. We must guard our hearts from these corrupting influences. We all know that spot in the Bible where it says, the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. The devil is interested at your heart. He's interested in getting things into your life that will corrupt you internally, so that way he can also corrupt you outwardly too. You see here in Romans chapter number 7, a fantastic passage of scripture that begins to talk about how Paul is talking about this infection of sin, this flesh that he has in his life. And Romans chapter 7, verse number 17, Romans 7, 17, the word of God says, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And as you're reading this, you understand this is from the great apostle Paul. He was human. He had a flesh. And as you get to this understanding here, as you read through this, you see he was struggling with his flesh too. But he got the victory in his flesh with the help of Jesus Christ. But this is an internal problem that we have. And this is why we must do as the Bible says, to guard our heart. We must give our heart over to the Lord. We must recognize that we have an internal problem, and we must set up barriers and guidelines and that wall of protection. There is lies that the devil tries to tell us, that entertainment is just that. It's not hurting anyone. But that is what corrupts our heart. Let's look here in Romans chapter 7, once again, verse 17. Let's start there. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Now he's saying, look, yes, we want to do right. We want, the will is present there. Verse number 19, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do.
I don't know about you, but that's the story of my life. As we fight this flesh and we do what we can to build up and try to live for the Lord, the things I want to do, many times that's the things I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, many times that's what I fall short in doing. Let's keep on reading here. It says, now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. See, what we're trying to tell you here is that we have an internal problem. We have a flesh problem that we must deal with. And this is why we must be serious and take this charge or take this fight and take this spiritual battle to another level and not just be passive, but instead, look, we have a problem and we need to fight against this. And look what it says in verse number 21. I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I don't know about you, but I think that's the case in my life too. When I want to give out a gospel tract to somebody else, there is something that's pulling away from me saying, hey, you don't need that. That person doesn't want to hear it. That person doesn't want anything to do with it. And the same thing when you're trying to develop standards and trying to live a godly life and how we in this day and age of media and this day and age of Facebook and the day and age of Twitter and the day and age of all these different social things that we have, how are we going to live godly? And we need to decide this. We need to understand this, that we're not going to bite into the hook that the devil says that, you know what, it's not that big of a deal. Instead, we're going to say, look, we have a problem. We have a flesh. We're not going to feed this flesh. We're going to fight against it. And let's look here in verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members. And this is just a beautiful example of what happens in our lives. When we want to do good, evil is present with us. We have our flesh with us. We have a problem that we have to deal with. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And it's a tearing there. It's sometimes, I honestly believe, when we come and we hear preaching, we make commitments to God, like these young people. They make commitments to get in there and to get to read their Bible. I think all three of them said one of the things that they realized is something that is a giant in their life, is they need to get to a certain spot and a special moment where they spend time alone with God, because you can't get to where God wants you to get unless you have His Word in your heart and in your mind. What do we say this morning? That the quote was that the speaker used last week, the things you see are the things that you're impressed with, and the things that you're impressed with are the things you pursue after. So whatever you put in front of your mind and whatever you put in front of your heart, what you're looking at, those are the things that are going to impress you. But when you're not putting the Word of God in front of you, you're not putting the Word of God in your heart, you know what? That's not going to be what the thing that impresses you. That's not going to be what you pursue after. We're not going to be able to build our spiritual man up by spending 3 or 4 minutes in the Bible every day. We're going to need to learn the Word of God. We're going to need to learn to meditate on the Word of God. We're going to need to learn how to have victory with God's help. Look what it says here. And like I said, it's going to be a battle for those young people. And it's going to be somebody that's, yeah, the Bible's there, it's open, I want to read. But there's something warring in our members. There's something there that's trying to get us to not read that Bible. There's something there that's fighting it. There's something there that's pulling against it. And that is, we need to recognize our internal problem. We have a flesh problem, and we must do something with this flesh problem. You say, well, what hope do I have? Well, the good things we see here, it says in verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? No, how can I win this? And this is the great thing. We can have victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is the fantastic thing, is that, yes, there is a flesh, but we can die to that flesh. We can crucify that flesh. And it says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but the flesh, the law of sin. We can't have victory, but we must have Jesus Christ first and foremost. Think about, here's some of the lies that the devil tells. When it comes to entertainment, first thing he tells a teenager, it's just entertainment. Another thing he tells a teenager, everyone else watching it, listening, doing it, it can't be that bad. You know what? The world has gotten to be pretty bad, hasn't it? If everyone else is doing it, I'm guessing that I don't want to do it because it's just wrong. And the teenager may say, I don't see how it can be so harmful. And this past week, I spent some time with some of our young people and I guess explained to them some of the guidelines and some of the rules. And because we had some new young people that were with us, and we love new young people. It means that it's healthy, it's growing, and it's good. But some of them didn't understand why we couldn't do this or why we could do it. And I sat down and tried to, like we did, talked about last Sunday night. If you're going to try to have a relationship You got to have a relationship before you can have rules. You got to know, they got to know that you care. You got to teach them a biblical principle. Yes, you can demand that they obey, but what have you taught them then? But if you show that out of a love and a courtesy and a showing them, this is why we have this principle. This is why we have this rule. Here's the biblical backing for it. This is why it could be dangerous. Light bulbs come on. They don't mind to follow rules like that. Now, yes, the devil's going to try to get them to rebel against rules like that. But if they can understand from the Word of God why we have principles and why we have rules, they can make it their own. And then as they grow older and they want to protect their own kids and they want to protect their own kids in their own church, they will have the same guidelines and the same rules that we taught them. But too long, independent fundamental Baptist churches have said, this is what you're going to do and it's because I told you to do it. Should a young person listen because of that? Yes, they should, because they're supposed to be obedient. But how much better it is when we can take the Bible and show them with a kind and loving heart, this is why we have this guideline, this is why we have this rule. And this is what we need to do. And we need to, as parents, be able to say, hey, look, there is an internal corruption. There is a sin problem. Be honest with your young person. Paul's being honest with us. He's saying he's warring there. He's fighting against it. He's saying, look, I want to do what's right. I want to do what's good, but there's evil present with him. And if Paul can be honest with us, we can be honest with our kids and say, hey, look, I know this is hard sometimes. Maybe I struggle with this as a kid, or maybe I struggle sometimes with reading my Bible like I should, but this is something, it's a battle. There's an internal corruption that we have. There's an internal problem. We must learn to fight against this. We need to recognize there's a problem there. Another lie, he says, that the fishermen or the enemy tells our teenagers, my pastors and parents just don't understand the entertainment and music of my generation. It's not all that bad. They are just extreme and out of date in these issues. Another lie, he says, well, your parents did it. Why is it so wrong for you to do it? I tell you that there are certain music that I listen to that I don't want ever my kids to ever listen to, because I know what it's done to me. There are certain things I've seen in my life that I hope my children never have to see. They never fall. You know why? Because I know what it's done to me. And that's why we want to build a wall of protection. That's the reason why young people and children, we have these rules and this wall of protection. We're standing in the hedge of gap. We're trying to fight the spiritual battle for you, because this is not about us trying to throw authority over you. This is a God-given right that we have, and we are taking it seriously. So if you have godly parents, be thankful for them. I'm sure Lot's daughters would have been really thankful to have some godly parents when those guys are breaking down that door asking for the angels. But instead, where are they at? They end up having doing something horrible. Now, lies that the enemy tells the parent. The lies that enemies tell a parent. The enemy is going to tell you it's just entertainment. The enemy will tell you, you did it as a young person and you turned out okay. The enemy will tell you, you have no influence over what kind of music or entertainment your kids enjoy. Besides, I've always had my own favorite style of music too, and everybody knows God likes all styles of music. That is a lie. That is a lie. But the devil will try to tell you those things. The devil will tell you that, hey, God created it. It's okay. And that's just a lie. The devil tries to tell a lie that TV is funny, movies are fun, and music is entertaining, and that's all it is. Nothing more. There's no spiritual conspiracy here. Just a few good laughs, some romantic adventures, and a nice rhythm to carry me through the day. That's a lie. The devil's doing what he can to try to get into your heart and into your mind. Another thing the parent does, I don't like the lie that they're told the parents, I don't like the kind of music, but as long as they keep their headphones on and keep it turned down, I guess it can't hurt that much. At least they're not out doing something worse. You know, we need to be careful here. And this is the reason why we're going through these things, to try to help our families and try to help our church family. You might say, I don't have kids at home. Well, if we're going to try to mentor these young people, we need people that will try to help stand in the gap. We need Sunday school teachers. We need deacons and deacons' wives. And we need the older women of the church to teach the younger women of the church. And we need people praying for our kids. I mean, we need somebody fighting the spiritual battle and upholding our Christian homes and our Christian families, encouraging our parents, coming alongside and spending time with them, helping mentor them. We live in a very, very busy day, but nothing is more valuable than the privilege we have to try to raise our young people. The Bible says, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Say, Pastor, you're just going to make a big deal about a bunch of things that really doesn't matter. I don't know how you can live in this day and age and watch what our Supreme Court just did. And we go through homosexual marriage. We go through all these things and say that it's not really a big deal. You go look at modern day TV, and I don't watch any of the TV that comes on those sitcoms and things like that. But when I used to be doing things I wasn't supposed to, all the shows were about people cohabiting together, people living without being married together, kids being disrespectful to their parents. Now it's the introduction of homosexuals all over the TV. What are they doing? They are trying to corrupt your inside and your internal things, and people are just writing off, it's entertainment, it's funny, it's okay, it's wrong, it's sin, and we do not need to be propaganding, we do not need to be paying to be able to watch these things. Instead, we need to be able to take a stand against these things and fight against it, because we have an internal corruption problem. There's something inside of us that's wrong. We need to recognize this problem and stand against it. Sin in the heart is much like an infection in the body. If you leave it to itself, it's going to become worse and become potentially devastating. If you allow things into your heart, into your life that are not godly, it will spread. Often an infection does much more damage because it really is before it is really diagnosed and treated. Many times you're not going to see the outward results till it's way too late. And that's what happens with the Satan and your young person, is they're trying to infect their heart. And this is where it makes it hard, is because of the fact that you're not seeing it, because it's in the heart. And before it ever gets to the spot where it comes outwardly, they've already fallen in love with it. And they're already fighting this battle. And this is why we need to stop and put a hedge of protection around them now, so that way it does not come to the spot where we are fighting someone who has already dealt with these sins. Rebellion against authority is something that we must fight against. The corruption of the heart is something that is just, the devil uses these two things to destroy our homes and our families. He actually literally rewrites the attitudes of the heart and the actions of our young people when we allow him to come into our lives and our hearts through ungodly entertainment. We need to be careful. The internal corruption comes in a multitude of ways and millions of varieties, and we're going to spend some time looking at some of those things. But what the enemy wants to do is, he is a lion. He is seeking about who he may devour. He likes to sneak around. He likes to infect our spiritual heart. He has tricky ways of doing it without even realizing it. As an infection settles in, it changes how you think. It changes how you feel. It changes what you desire. And literally what happens to you before you even realize it, you become numb to the process of the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you. He uses tools and devices to deaden your spiritual senses. Then he reprograms your heart with new attitudes, to the point that the enemy has lodged corruption deep in your heart. And then you got young people and adults that are spiritually dead because of the fact that they have been drinking of the spiritual wickedness. You know what? It's something similar to alcohol and drugs. It's what happens to your brain with them. But the problem is, with alcohol and drugs, you can see that there's a problem. You can see physically. But when it happens to your heart, many times we do not see what's going on. When a person comes under these seemingly harmless spiritual influences, there are no immediate physical signs. And that's why we reason them as harmless. It's not that big of a deal. But I tell you, we need to get and fight these battles, because you allow these things into your children's heart, you know what's going to happen? You're not going to be very happy in the end. Your years as teenagers, those years as young adults, and it's going to take a mighty work of God many times to bring them back to the Lord. They're going to have to go down a road that they could have never had to gone through if we would have fought for them. The corruption happens within, the vision is skewed, the heart is drunken, and all that happens is under the surface. And all the while, the surface has the warning signs are rarely taken seriously. And instead of dealing with sin as a deadly cancer, we misdiagnose it as nothing but a common cold that just go away after a while. But sin is something that will destroy your spiritual life, and we need to be careful. Next thing, I want you to take your Bibles here to let's go to 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John number 4. And this just last point here is only 2 points tonight. Is first, you need to realize we have an internal problem. And that's something that your young people might not understand. It's something you need to explain to them. And even if they don't understand it, you need to not be passive about it. Remember last week, passiveness breeds rebellion. And you need to say, I am the parent, it is my responsibility. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to fight for what's right. And we need to expose the spirits of this world. Expose the spirits of this world. To understand where we're headed with these messages, we must understand that this is a spiritual light. There's a reality of a spiritual light. There's a spiritual battle that goes on in our life. What we're talking about has to do with the alteration and annihilation of a healthy inner man. In other words, we must believe that the spiritual world is just as real, if not more real than the world that you see. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, the Bible says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Even though we may not see it with our eyes, it's something that is real and it's something that is more real than even the moments and times that we live in, the things we can see, because they last for eternity. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You know what? There is a spiritual battle going on. You say, well, I don't see anything. I don't see what the big deal is. Well, how do you think God created the world? Well, the Bible tells us, right? In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. If we can have faith to see that and believe that, we can also have the faith when the word of God says that there is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, that there is a spiritual battle. One thing is fighting against us. When we try to do right and do good, evil is always present with us. And we must understand the devil has his tools, he has his devices, and it's something that we have to fight against. 1 John chapter number 4, there's a couple things I'd like to bring out here, and I think we'll be done for the night. 1 John chapter number 4, let's look here and let's read verses 1 through 6. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. I mean, praise the Lord that we can have victory, that he is the greater that is in us than is in the world. And even though we have a flesh, we can have victory in that. And verse number 5, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. And there's an interesting thought there. If they're of the world heareth them. You know what? We're not supposed to be of this world. We're not supposed to be listening to the things this world is trying to tell us. We're supposed to be listening to the word of God. Verse number 6, there's a difference here. We are of God. See, we're not of the world, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There's just a few quick things I'd like for you to look at here. First thing I want to call to your attention is found in verses 1 and 2. And it's talked about how there are two kinds of spirits that speak in our world today. There's the spirit of God and those spirits that are not of God. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. The first thing I want you to get and understand is that there is two different spirits out there, two different groups of spirit. There's the spirit of God, and then there's a spirit that is not of God. And there is a distinction that God puts here and puts in the Bible. Is do they believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh? Do they believe that Jesus Christ was God? This is where the distincting factor there is. What do you do with Jesus Christ? What do you believe about Jesus Christ? Now, that's the difference between us and the different cults of the day. We have a different opinion of who Jesus Christ is and what he did for us. And it's what you have done with Jesus Christ and your belief about what Jesus Christ and who he was makes all the difference. And here, and as you look at this, there's two different spirits in the world. One that's the spirit of God and the other to speak not of God. This verifies there's a spiritual battle. This verifies that there is lies and deceptions that are going on and they're going to hound us as long as we live. There is going to be the spirit of God trying to impress us and trying to teach us. Remember, what we look at, what we see is what impresses us, and what we impressed with, that is what we pursue after. If we put a bunch of stuff in front of our face and we listen to a bunch of stuff that is not of God, those are the things that we're going to pursue after. But when we put good things in front of us, That is what we're going to seek after. Second thing I want you to see is John repeatedly reminds us that we are of God. You know, what are you saying over here? Look at it says in verse number 4, ye are of God. Verse number 6, we are of God. And he is emphatically stating that there are some spirits that we should not have nothing to do with because we are of another spirit. And in fact, God has gone to great lengths to help us overcome these spirits. It says in verse number 4, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When Jesus Christ came and died on this cross for us, he gave us a way of eternal life, but he also gave us the ability to be free from these sins. We are crucified with him. And it's in Romans chapter number 6. I know many of you have been working on memorizing that. It talks about how we do not have to sin. We are not servants of sin, that we are free from sin. I know it doesn't feel that way, but that's what the Bible teaches us. That's why we need to reckon ourselves dead. And what the Bible is teaching us here is that we're not of the world. We're supposed to be different of the world. We do not have to swallow the garbage that homosexuality is okay. We do not have to swallow all the things that the world is trying to teach us. It doesn't have to happen that way. We are not of the world. We are of God. Remember, we're not talking about Casper the Friendly Ghost here. We're talking about spirits here that are setting out baits and hooks and battle and battles us, that deceives us, that lies, and that just doesn't play fair. The devil doesn't play fair. Amen. And that's why we need to set a wall of protection around them. These ungodly spirits intend to lead us astray. They tend to lie to you and destroy you. The third thing I want you to see here, and it's something we mentioned already, is that God is greater than these spirits. Amen. And this is the good thing, is that, you know, we can have victory here. We can have in our lives and with our families. In actuality, there is something to fear. Just, they're not something to fear, they're something to be aware of and to try to avoid. You know, we have God, the Spirit of God living inside of us. We've overcome the world. He's overcome the world. We can have that victory too. And you say, Pastor, what do you do with what happened when our world keeps on getting wrong, worse and worse? We try to bring America back to God like they sung about tonight. We try to pray, we try to bring revival. But we don't need to be fearful because God's in charge. God's in control. And then, you know what? All throughout these different years and these centuries, there's been wickedness under the sun all these years. And they need to have a Christ-like example. They need a Christian group that's going to stand up and say, this is what's right. This is how I'm going to live. But that won't happen if we allow corruption inside of our hearts. The most important application I want to draw from this passage of Scripture is that when the Bible says they are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, is, you know what, the spirits of the world actually speaks and the world hears them. Look what it says here in verse number 5. And they are of the world, they speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Now, think about it. These spirits of the world actually speak and the world hears them. These spiritual entities, enemies of the cross, actually have voices that can be heard in the physical realm. Voices that are pleasant enough to be listened to. Obviously, the destructive power of these voices is masked by something much more attractive. They're masked in comedians, is masked in music, is masked in evil friendships. They bait you with the world's goods, yet they clearly and physically speaks and the world hears them. Think about it. They listen. We listen to it. We absorb it. We physically understand it. We accept these voices. That's what the world does. And that's why we need to fight against this. And next verse, John tells us we have a different ear. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be disappointed when we hear things that are ungodly, when people make fun of God, when people live in sin. We're not supposed to promote these things, that we are of God, but he that knoweth God heareth us. You know, he that is not of God heareth not us. You know, we have a different voice that we should be listening to. John clearly tells us that we're in the world, we'll be surrounded by these voices, but we have a different voice we should listen to. And that's what some of these things are going to look about next couple of weeks. Next week, obviously, Brother Harper will be here, but there's different voices out there in this world. There's different voices that are trying to get your attention, trying to get your approval. There are different things that people are trying to force through us, and some of it through the media, that they're trying to tell us. And sometimes it's disheartening to hear, you know, young people go into certain sins, and older people. You get into certain cars and you hear music that's ungodly, and they say, oh, that's not a big deal. You know, it's corrupting us. It's causing us to be insensitive to God and his ways, and we need to be careful. And that's what we're going to try to look at for the next couple of weeks. And we hopefully get to the spot where we believe what the Bible says when it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, we need to learn to keep our heart pure. Jim Berg, in his book, Change Into His Image, he talked about how our greatest problems are inside us, not around us. We have an internal corruption problem we need to work with and we need to fight against. And that's why we don't play around with the world. That's why we don't listen to the world. That's why he says here in verse number 1 in chapter 4, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. It's to the spot. Is this something that is godly? Is this something that is holy? Is this something that's going to help edify me and encourage me? Or is this something that's going to drag me down? Your heart is the source of the wellspring of your life. If the devil can corrupt your heart, it's only a matter of time before he can destroy your entire life. It's a matter of time before he reinvents you and without you even knowing it. In fact, he would rather destroy you slowly than doing some type of quick change. Instead, he'd rather do it little by little because it will last. It's amazing that he is so good at sneaking up on us. It's amazing that we have learned to accept these little things over these many years. I wonder what the people in the 1980s would think about what's going on today. 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago. How in the world do we accept and allow all this to come into our world? Our heart is literally our mind, our will, our emotions. It's our words, our thinker, our chooser, our feeler. And it's who you really are, and it's who you are in the innermost being. Your enemy literally can influence this and alter this and control our thoughts and our desires and our feelings if we let them have their hearts. So where do you get that from? Well, I've met teenagers. I've met adults who claim to be Christians who talk about taking their own lives, committing suicide. And that is that's something that's reaching far out there, but we probably all know of someone or have spent time and talked to someone, at least as adults, that know this. Where did that all happen? It's when they allow their heart to become corrupted. And because of that, it's caused the devil to enter their minds and hearts. We need to be careful. We need to want to set up a principles and guidelines. Recognize that the voices that are in this world today, we need to learn how to silence some of them and open up our ears to other ones. Tonight, realize we have an internal problem. Then let's unmask the unspiritual things that are going on in this world. And let's teach our kids why things are wrong. Let's show them and demonstrate to them when someone is saying this about God, that's not someone we should want to be like. That's not someone we should want to listen to. And let's teach them from the Word of God that we're not of this world. We have a different spirit that we listen to. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed.